You're listening to SBS News.
At Goea, a 2,000-strong community near Fiji's capital of Suva, police stand guard to ensure no one other than health workers come in or out of an area that has become a hotspot of COVID-19 infections ravaging the Pacific Island nation. After keeping the coronavirus at bay last year, Fiji, with a population of around 900,000, is now recording as many as 300 new cases a day as part of a wave of infections linked to the highly transmissible Delta strain. The spread has been particularly rampant in close-knit settlements, with health authorities saying Goea represents the fastest-growing cluster. One woman who has family members inside the community says very little information is getting out.
The names of those who are sick are not mentioned. Those within the zone who are sick, their names are not publicised, so we do not know who is sick, nor do we know if any of our relatives are sick. So what we do is we organise food and other items to be taken into the zone through the police or soldiers to deliver to our relatives.
While the total number of infections in Goea is not clear, the settlement recorded 153 cases in a single day last week. Fiji has recorded just over 3,500 infections and 13 deaths during a second wave starting in April of 2021. The outbreak has been linked to a breach inside a quarantine facility. The containment of settlements like Goea is part of a broader plan to suppress the virus, with schools closed and a curfew in place across the country. For a nation that relies heavily on tourism, tourism accounted for about 40% of its gross domestic product before the pandemic. The beaches and streets are deserted, and businesses are struggling. Restaurant owner Sikipio Fihaki says he has laid off 6 of his 11 staff and now relies solely on home deliveries to ensure his staff continue to receive the salary they depend on to survive.
We are going through a really hard time because of the restrictions, with the number of cases growing, with what we're expecting the government to try and, you know, which everyone's waiting, everyone's sitting on their hands. And while we're doing that, we're still trying to make sure that we are trying to run the business, trying to feed the families of those that are working for us, that like the crew, they still have their own families, they still have their own rent to pay. So I think it's, as a business owner, we still have that responsibility.
The pandemic is not only affecting Mr. Fihaki's finances, but his emotional well-being as well.
It's a lonely time, eh? Straightforward, like, no bullshit. Because you know, you can't see your families, you can't go see your friends, you can't, like, yeah, we can talk through social media, but now we're just longing for that contact, that, like, because us as South Pacific Islanders, us as Fijians, we're always that kind of, you know, touch. We want some.
Like most Pacific Island nations, Fiji was able to combat the early stages of the pandemic by closing its borders. Now, it is one of a growing number of Pacific nations battling increased infections, along with Papua New Guinea. Guam, an unincorporated Pacific territory of the United States and French Polynesia, have also recorded a significant number of infections. Katie Greenwood is head of the Pacific Delegation for the International Federation of Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies. She says it was not inevitable that COVID-19 would take over the region.
The rise of cases in Fiji is definitely a wake-up call for Pacific nations who absolutely can prevent a first wave from reaching their shores. It is not an inevitability that we will see COVID taking over in the Pacific. People are well coordinated. Governments and humanitarian organizations are working together. They are learning lessons from across the Pacific and across the globe.
In the capital, Suva, people wait to get tested. Some, though, like Ella, have been reluctant to leave their homes.
I was afraid to come outside because I know I'll get the virus from somebody. I don't know. If you're going to touch anything, you might get it. And second, I was afraid to come and get the injection too because of all the rumors and everything going on the internet.
After managing to keep the virus at bay last year, Fiji is now dealing with the deadly Delta variant, which is spreading rapidly. The government is urging people to stay at home as much as possible and to wear a mask. It's also pushing for people to get vaccinated, says Ms. Greenwood.
The importance of the vaccination campaign is absolutely paramount. People must go out and get vaccinated, and that can help to arrest any caseload. And it doesn't have to happen in the Pacific. It really, time for preparation is now.
50% of Fijians have received at least one vaccine dose, according to official data, while just over 6% have received a second, with AstraZeneca and Sinopharm being the administered vaccines. A multidisciplinary team from Australia and New Zealand was deployed to Fiji to provide support with health system management, infection prevention, and assessment of the country's priority health needs in April. Australia's High Commissioner to the Republic of Fiji, John Feeks, has tweeted a video introducing some of the Australians in Fiji, or soon to be there.
Hello, my name's Kath McDermott. I'm the nurse lead for AusMed's team to Fiji in response to COVID-19. I do look forward to going to Suva on Tuesday and working alongside our Fijian colleagues.
My name's Matthew O'Sullivan. I'm an infectious diseases specialist and clinical microbiologist based at Westmead Hospital in Sydney. I'm very grateful to be here with the AusMed team in Fiji to help in whatever way we can during this current COVID outbreak.
My name's Kev Galath. I'm in Fiji as part of the AusMed response team. My role on this deployment is the infection prevention and control nurse.
Australia has sent 1.3 tons of personal protective equipment and medical supplies since April, including 500 thermal guns for health screening teams and testing equipment. Assam Al-Ghalib, SBS News.